T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You said you were a skinny guy. You're not skinny now. I'm looking at your suit here. The arms are bulging out. You said you only had about 2% body fat. So when did the weight gain happen for you? Did it happen at Fordham before you transferred to Nova? When did this happen when you weren't so much of a skinny guy?
It actually happened at Fordham. I started to lift weights a little more, and then I hurt my ankle. And then I ate bad, so I got like kind of fat. But then when I went to Villanova, I cut all the fat down. So that was something that the weight just stayed there. So I just started to embrace it, and it's helped me in my game a lot.
Now, you talked about, the culture here at Golden State, and it's a winning culture. And the fact that you declare you're coming out, you want to be a professional basketball player, now you're going to be in the same locker room with the greats, Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, and Draymond Green. Has that set in? Is it still surreal at this point?
It probably hasn't set in because I haven't seen them yet. But I stepped in the locker room today, and I was like, whoa. Like, I was just looking at the names. Yeah, I was looking at the names around, and I was like, whoa, this is kind of crazy. But, of course, I'm being a rookie in this league, so it's going to be kind of wild at first just to see who you're playing against and playing with.
You walk in here, you see the murals. Has anybody reached out to you yet? Has it been Steph? Has it been Draymond? Who's reached out to you so far since you've been drafted?
Draymond,
what'd he say?
Was actually the first dude to text me. He's just like, welcome to the team. And I texted him back. I said, thank you. I mean, I appreciate it, and I'm willing to learn from you in every way I can.
Now, they called you a mini Draymond. Now, all in these quotes are saying you're a mini Draymond. How do you feel about that?
a lot of people have compared me to him, but, I just feel like I have a lot to learn to be on his level. So,
if you had to work on one thing coming into the NBA, what you want to work on in the summer league? We know you could shoot the three. We know you could defend. I saw you in the Final Four. You're bodying up, guys. What is one thing you want to work on before the regular season starts?
Definitely just adjusting to the line. I mean, I feel like college kids now have an advantage because they've already moved the line back. So they're pretty much shooting the NBA three. So I had to have a little more distance to get used to. But definitely just that aspect, getting used to the line.
Now, I know you're motivated, but you've seen the finals, and unfortunately the Warriors had some players go down with injury, and that's going to go in to extend to next season. You know, is your motor cranked up even higher knowing that, you know, if you handle your business, you got a chance to come in as a rookie and get minutes and help this team win?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you just got to know that you have to work hard. I mean, nothing's given to you. So I just have to prove myself every day, just being able to show that I'm ready to play now.
Eric Paschal here on 95.7 The Game with Guru and Bonte. Have you rubbed it in yet to Jordan Poole about that NCAA championship victory?
Yeah, he's heard it. He's heard it a lot.
What did you say? Did you guard him in that?
Yeah, he scored on me once, but at the end of the day, we still ended up winning.
Just one time? Yeah, what kind of move was it? Was it one of those jumpers?
Jordan's real good out the jab series, so it was a jab. He just laid it up. They called a foul. I didn't foul him.
So they gave him the and one,
too. Yeah, they gave him the and one, but by the end of the game, it didn't even matter.
So you're going to wear the ring around the summer league or whatnot? That Nova championship?
I should. But Jordan's been hearing it all summer because we're part of the same agency.
Right.
So we've been working out together the whole year. So I've been holding that against him a little bit.
Now, I know somebody asked you up front, and I couldn't hear the answer. So you haven't been to the Bay Area but once or twice, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think of it thus far?
It's real nice. I mean, the weather's great. I mean, I didn't know it gets that cold at night, but
by the water,
the palm trees in San Francisco.
Yeah, but it's good. I mean, I like it a lot. It's a very beautiful city.
You won't have to deal with snow anymore.
Yeah, definitely. Well, except when we have to go to the East Coast.
Oh yeah. You guys will be indoors, and you'll be all right.
We'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Making that money now, you get somebody getting the snow out the car. Or what have you?
I gotta ask. First thing you'll buy for your parents here or your family members? What's the first thing you'll do with that NBA paycheck?
I don't know. I don't think my parents even won anything. I mean, they never said anything about it. So
that's awesome.
That's awesome. They seem like great people here. They're here with you as you got your jersey. And then you're wearing number 7 real quick. I know you said all the numbers you wanted. Why'd you pick number 7?
Literally because all the numbers I wanted were gone.
That was real.
Like that was 100% why I chose 7, because number 4 I wore for a lot of reasons. And then number 11 I can't wear because of Clay.
Gotcha.
4, Quinn Cook. I used to wear 14. It's retired. 24, retired Rick Barry. So I was just like, I got to go with 7.
You're going to wear it well. You're going to make it proud.
Yeah, I'm going to wear it well. I'm going to wear it well.
There you go. We'll let you get out of here, man. You got your parents here. It's an awesome day for you.
Congratulations.
Feeling great. Thank Congratulations you. On making the jump to the NBA, leaving Nova, coming to a great culture here. Best of luck to you, and can't wait to watch you in Summer League.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Eric Pascoe here on 95.7 The Game, talking to Matt Steinmetz and Derrick the Guru Johnson. Loving the blue suit, man. Says simple, but it's effective.
Yeah.
It's effective.
You're ready.
No, hold on. Real quick, before we get you off here, see, you got the wave game here. Jordan said Guru had butters. Now, I never heard butters. I guess that's a new term for waves,
man,
or whatever.
Where's he?
You from West Coast? That got to be a West Coast thing.
Texas.
I've never heard of it.
Okay.
I was just in New York. We just say waves.
Waves. Yeah, wave count. All right, there it is. Waves.
We just say waves.
There we go. The
wave game, not bad either, Eric. Eric, best of luck to you in the NBA future here. Bronte Hill, Derrick the Guru Johnson here on 95.7 The Game, taking it up until 2 o'clock. I think we're going to get Alan Smolagic here in just a second. Played with the G League team, so we'll get him after the break here on 95.7 The Game. But first, let's go to Elena with the latest on what's happening on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, Vontae. What's happening on The Game? NBA free agency is coming fast around the corner. Sunday, the floodgates officially open, so keep it locked right here on 95.7 The Game for any and all updates on the latest moves around the league. The trio, Vontae, Steiny, and Guru are live from Warriors HQ, where you just heard the other trio. That's the Warriors rookies in their introductory press conference. Jordan Poole, Eric Pascoe all took turns sitting down with Vontae, Steiny, and Guru. Alan Smolagic will be taking the turn to sit down with them coming up next. If you missed them live, check it out on demand at 957thegame.com or stream anywhere on the radio.com app. In other Warriors news, the Lakers have been granted permission to meet with Warriors assistant coach Ron Adams. Sponsored by your Northern California Toyota dealers, Toyota's 4th of July sales event is now on and lighting up summer with hot, hot, hot deals. Get low financing on the all-new 2009 RAV4 and RAV4 Hybrid, or get $2,000 cash back on 2019 Highlander. Offers end 7819 Toyota. Let's go places. I'm Elena Matsourakis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Bronte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Bronte, Steiny, and Guru here on 95.7 live from the Rakuten Performance Center as the rookies have been introduced. We just talked to Jordan Poole, talked to Eric Pascoe, and I'm excited to talk to Alan Smolagic here, who played in the G League last year for the Santa Cruz Warriors, second round pick out of Serbia. And my man, you said you were nervous. You don't look nervous. You look ready to go. You look ready to play right now.
I looked nervous before. Now I'm confident to play.
Oh, you're confident now? Good, man. You're wearing number 6. You talked about flipping 9 upside down because you wanted to wear number 6. But how excited are you to be part of this organization, a team that's went to 5 straight NBA finals? How excited are you to have a chance to play for this organization?
I'm really excited, and I cannot wait the chance to show what can I play. How can I play?
Yeah, we got in at 10 o'clock, and you were already in this facility, not in your nice suit that you're in now. You are already getting a workout in. Talk to us about how big of a workout warrior you are, because it sounds like when we were talking off air, that's what you like to do to get better.
Yeah, but I think the work is like half. Like you have to work so you can play. I have to prepare myself to be better. I know where am I going. I know the players. I'm going to play.
Is it going to be more mental then for you coming into this season, more mental and not physical, because you do have the skills? I see you drop some double-doubles in the Dream League. Is it more mental getting adjusted to this level of play?
I think it's more mental because the bigger players, smaller court.
Yeah, smaller court, but you're going to have space to work with here. Tell us about your game. Who do you model your game after?
Maybe like Dirk, like KD, maybe. Nemanja Bjelica, like mix.
A mix? Yeah. That's Hall of Fame worthy right there.
Wow. Yeah, you talked about Kevin Durant, so that's going to be big. And you're a big body. My question to you is, how much of video do you study about guys that you're going to play against, you know, once this season starts? Is video a big part of your regimen in regard to you trying to get better?
I don't watch that much video. I have, like, coaches that they're working with me, and they're telling me what to do, and I'm, like, just confident just to play, and I believe them.
Tell us about when we were talking to Alan Smilagic here on 95.7 The Game, Daryl DeGuru, Johnson, Bonte Hill. Tell us about your time in Santa Cruz, the city, playing in the G League, playing at Kaiser Arena where it's packed every single night. Tell us about your experience down in Santa Cruz.
That was a great experience because I didn't play that much people. Like, it's not always the full in Serbia, and people are great. They're nice to me. Coaches are nice. Players are nice. Everyone was nice to me, and I was fearless to play against anyone. I know that they were behind me to hold my back.
And you talked about eating down there in Santa Cruz. You love the restaurants down there. Tell us about your favorite restaurants.
I know, maybe Chianti's, Chili's.
Chili's?
Yeah.
You like Chili's?
Yeah.
Good Chili's. What do you get from Chili's?
Queso, maybe ribs and pasta.
There you go. There you go.
Because we ask you in your country about your diet. You said pretty much strictly all meat, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how he's getting growing.
Big fish fan, too, though. You like to bake fish, right?
Yeah.
And they have a lot of good seafood in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, on Boardwalk. They have a few, like Firefish. Like, most of the restaurants are pretty good.
So how excited are you to be a teammate of Steph Curry and Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green and to be coached by the great Coach Kerr? I mean, are those things that keep you up at night?
Yeah, I cannot wait to meet them, to exactly stand the court with them, to play with them, to run with them. I just can't wait.
Yeah, we're excited.
Alan Smilagic here on 95.7 The Game. Has anybody reached out to you yet from the team? Has it been Draymond? Has it been Steph Curry? Has anybody sent you a text to say, hey, welcome to the Warriors?
Not yet.
Not yet? Nobody? They're leaving you cold, so I guess they're just going to wait for practice.
Yeah, I think that. But I talked with Steph when I was in G League.
Oh, yeah. What'd you say to Steph? How was that conversation?
He said to me, because I didn't play first few games, and I was, like, disappointed. And he can, like, don't worry, it's all going to be okay. Just keep working, or it's all going to be, like, it's supposed to be. You're too young, and that's really mean to me.
And what did that mean to you when Steph Curry says that, a two-time MVP, guy hitting all these three-pointers, when he walks up to you and say, don't worry about it, your time is coming. What did that mean for you?
I was relaxed then. I was like, okay, and I step on the court and start practicing for the next game.
That's dope.
I love it. And you know, Summer League is getting ready to start, and you told me you can't wait to go. But from what you've seen when you watch NBA basketball, are you confident that as soon as you step out there, you feel like you're able to contribute?
I will see.
Okay.
I cannot say that, but
you're going to get the chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got skills, though, Bonte. You got skills. I'm ready.
Alan Smilagic joining us courtesy of the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls, connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. Talk about taking pictures here. Now everything's done. You got the photos here. Everybody's here watching you, listening to you talk. What's next for you? Are you back in the gym tomorrow? Are you getting ready for the G League? Tell us about what you have planned this summer.
Yeah, I have to finish the Summer League. I'm probably going to go back to Serbia to practice because we have a great coach in Serbia, Nenad Petrunic, who believes in every player. And he really wants me to be a best player as I could be.
And I asked you, who was your idol, Serbian basketball player? You would answer how?
Nemanja Bjelica.
Wow.
Right away.
That's
there.
A good choice.
I like the Serbian Dirk, but he loves KD.
Yeah.
He has a game. Can't wait to see you get on the court. And congratulations again for being drafted by the Golden State Warriors. Best of luck to you in the future here. I hope you're here for a long, long time.
Thank you so much.
Alan Smilagic, everybody's second-round pick of the Golden State Warriors. He's excited. No more to be nervous, baby. Now you can just play, Alan.
Yeah.
You can eat all the fish you want.
And Chili's.
And Chili's. He loves Chili's. Yeah. He loves Chili's. Guru, we just talked to all the three rookies here who've been drafted. Give me your impression here of talking to Jordan Poole, Eric Paschal, and Alan Smilagic.
They're all, and I'm not just saying this, Bonte. They're sharp. They think basketball. They can talk basketball. They come from programs with great leaders. And then this young man that we see here that's walking off that talks about, you know, anybody trying to emulate the great Kevin Durant, I'm okay with.
Right.
He's got the size, and I think he's going to shock a lot of people. So I'm excited to see all three of them playing Summer League, Bonte, as if it was, you know, opening day of next season. It's not, but you know, they got to make a name for themselves, and I think they'll do good.
And we know Summer League now has become like a league of its own. It's televised all day long.
They got an MVP.
ESPN. They got the tournament style. I actually attended Summer League a couple years ago and had the time of my life. These players, these kids ball out there. They give it all they have. So Jordan Poole, Eric Paschal, Alan Smiley-Geach joined us courtesy of the Dow Pad Guest Line. Helps you make smarter calls. Of course, connect your team with the business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. All three rookies were impressive. All three rookies, Guru, were impressive here. Their game was tight. Their fashion sense, they have it. You see even Alice Smiley-Geach had the suit game on. Eric Paschal, more business-like approach. And then Jordan Poole looks like a guy who's going to let it fly.
Did you see how his eyes lit up when I asked about that room? You know, the room that he's going to get on the NBA court. It's still going to be goons out there in defense.
Oh, man.
But you know what I mean, Vontae. Yep. A lot of times when you play college,
it's all the 2-3 zone and everything.
You can't even navigate.
It's so slow.
But he strikes me when I saw him, man. He just strikes me as a guy that's not so dependent, and there's nothing wrong with the screen or that, you know, that pick. Like, back up, I might be able to put it between the legs, hit you from the outside with this dagger, or go to the cup and get to the line. And Pascal, dude, he looked like a boxer.
Man, you see how fit he was? He said he had 2% body fat.
I haven't
been at 2% body fat since I came out the womb, man.
Half,
come on, man. You kidding me? 2% body fat.
You're about 4%.
Right. 4 times 20. Are you kidding? You see this belly
ready,
right now?
Dude. He looked ready.
He looked ready to go. All three rookies look ready to go because you're entering an organization that has won championships, that has played on a big level in the bright lights. Now, Paschal and Jordan Poole have played in the bright lights, playing at the Big House, Michigan, Big Ten, CBS. You're playing on national TV every single night. Same thing with Paschal at Villanova. And we know how big Hoops is in Philadelphia. That's a tough market to play in. They will rip anybody out there in Philadelphia. Paschal seems like he has thick skin. He's ready to come contribute right away.
He
wanted to be here.
And then you asked him about, I feel like he's played for Kerr already. When you asked about the relationship with Wright and Coach Kerr, that's big.
Similar minds and a lot of rumors with Jay Wright coming to the NBA at some point. John Dickinson is going to join us in a second here live at the Rakuten Performance Center as we take you up until 2 p.m. on 95.7 The Game. Bonte Hill, Matt Steinmetz, Darryl DeGuru Johnson. Steinmetz had to step out. He'll be back tomorrow as we have Rick Bucher in studio from 12 to 1 p.m. He's talking about Kevin Durant not being happy with the organization. Kevin Durant apparently is already it's already a done deal to the Brooklyn Nets.
You're not hearing that, are you?
It's all kind of rumors floating. This is lying season. This is where all the rumors float and all the hot takes come out. We get all the Woj bombs and Shams Charania. All that stuff is going to be happening as free agency starts Sunday at 3 p.m. And keep it locked here to 95.7 The Game as we will keep you updated all day long and all week with free agent moves. John Dixon joins the show. What's up, JD?
What's going on, fellas?
JD making the rounds looking sweat. You don't got the suit that the rookies had on, but you look sharp.
No, no suit for I saved my suits for the regular
there
season.
There you go.
And for July.
There you go.
July, man. JD's sharp, man. He had the blazer out there in the playoffs, man.
Always
the Levi
sharp.
Jeans. He's got the beard game going on right now.
I'm a little jealous. Both of you guys got the beard
game. Yeah, you don't want to be jealous of this.
I got the Tim Jordan thing.
No, you don't want to be. I wish I could be like you. Yeah, I take this beard off, Guru. It's life changing.
All right, there you go.
JD, give me your impressions so far of the rookies as they were introduced about an hour ago here to the Bay Area media.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Paschal is, and it sounds like you guys were just talking about it. I mean, he seems to be early on the leader in the clubhouse in terms of just impressiveness. You know, speaking to the fact that he wanted to come to the Warriors and kind of detailing a little bit. I had him off to the side for a couple of minutes and got a couple of questions about just, you know, how all that came to be. Why did you think the Warriors were a good fit and how do you think you can fit in? And it sounds like, I mean, he wants to play defense. He thinks he can guard a lot of different positions. He thinks his three-point shot's progressively gotten better throughout his college career, and it just seems like he feels like he really can make an impact at this level and on a team that has a lot of talent or on a team that may be down a little bit compared to where they've been the last couple of years in terms of talent, but aspires to be a championship team again in short order. So he impresses me. His demeanor, his attitude, just the way he kind of explains what he's thinking. I mean, he's an intriguing player.
JD, I may be stating the obvious, but all three young men were intelligent, articulate. And I feel like I saw a flicker in their eyes knowing that this Warrior team is going through a transition with the two heartbreaking injuries. And I'm getting at, there's going to be opportunities for these guys to get on the floor and get some minutes if they do their thing and go above and beyond. But it's unlike, I feel like I was telling Bonte and Steiny, a lot of other teams to where, okay, you're a rookie, we might call on you. The Warriors are going to need some help and some bodies. And if these guys can show something, I mean, they're coming into a better opportunity than a lot of other teams and rookies around the league.
Yeah, you just go through the roster, there are going to be opportunities to play. I mean, there can't not be opportunities to play. And, you know, you look at a guy like Jordan Poole, for example, who, you know, has that combo guard skill set, you know, and a confidence. See, he has the confidence to not only fit in and be unafraid to step into an environment where they're going to need him to maybe play and need him to score, need him to shoot. But I also think that confidence helps, let's say, 2 years down the line, if you wind up in a position where you're playing with a bunch of stars again. You know, so you could step in because, we need you to do more next year. And then you could step in 2 years and have a confidence that you can hold your own and among 3-4 stars, if that's where this Warriors roster is. Wow. So I think the confidence actually is impactful in two different ways. It's get yours when you can, but it's also not be intimidated, as we've seen maybe a couple of other players be in the past, young players, where it takes them a minute to get used to being on the floor with a Curry and a Clay and a Draymond and a Kevin Durant.
JD, we had a great conversation Friday about the Warriors' future, about what it's going to look like. And you kind of hit it at some of the moves there. But this just broke. Andre Iguodala was on CNBC this morning. I don't know if you saw this, JD, but he says that Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson will re-sign with the Golden State Warriors. And nobody's going to the New York Knicks. Sorry. Now, he says this on CNBC, and we know Iguodala can be cryptic. He can be funny. You never know when he's telling the truth. That's what's so special about Andre Iguodala. He's a fun guy. He's a fun dude to interview. But what does that mean? If Andre Iguodala is saying it, do you buy into that? Because what if KD and Clay does re-sign? What if they do re-sign and you get Clay back in March? And then Boogie says, you know what? The $10-15 million from the Charlotte Hornets is not the same as getting the mid-level from the Warriors. I know in Charlotte I'm going to be playing for an 8 seed. With the Warriors, I may have a shot at winning a championship or competing for a championship. But if that does happen, if Iguodala is telling the truth here that Kevin Durant and Clay Thompson is re-signing, then that changes the whole outlook on what we've been talking about for the last 3 hours about the Golden State Warriors moving into the Chase Center. All of a sudden, we go from saying, hey, at the All-Star break, you know, they may be looking to deal some of these guys with 1 year, with half a year left on their contracts. Now they may be thinking, okay, let's just rest, let's stay in the hunt, and now we're getting Clay back and KD is re-signing. We're good here. I mean, that changes everything.
It does, but let's be honest. I mean, we're all sitting here at the table. I mean, we think Clay Thompson's coming back.
That's a no-brainer.
The question
right?
is, I mean, so Clay's KD. Coming back KD. At right. some point. The question is, what's Kevin Durant going to do? And there's levels to it. I mean, if Clay comes back, look, it's going to be tough for this Warriors team to make it to a point where his return really matters in terms of moving up the playoff ladder, in terms of moving to a position where, you know, they could be, you know, in contention to win a round in the playoffs and or win a couple of rounds in the playoffs and have, let's say, Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green all back.
Right.
So it's going to be tough to work that into mattering. But if you know on the back end that you've got both of those guys coming back, it allows you to attack the rest of this offseason, next year, and next year's offseason, just with a confidence that you know you're going to be a championship-caliber team the following year. To have that in your right. back pocket, I think it takes some of the pressure off of how, you know, feeling you have to do too much or feeling you have to do all these different things right now. You could spread it out a little bit knowing what you've got in your back pocket right. moving forward. You could do a little bit now, a little bit maybe at the deadline, this coming trade deadline next February, a little bit next year.
Right.
You know, I coined it it's a 16-month offseason at that point if you wind up getting both of those guys back into the fold with the Warriors.
Yeah, J.D., speaking of next year, we had a conversation, and I know we're the summer league is upon us. The rookies are getting introduced today. But I was telling Bonte and Steiny, I find it hard to imagine a scenario where the three-time champion Steph Curry, Draymond, and Andre Iguodala would come into a season without, you know, Klay and KD, which it looks like, and that's going to be. But I find it hard for them to kind of not go all out and perform as professional basketball players, even if it meant they were going to win 35 to 40 games. And I believe Steph missing that shot in Game 6 and Andre going on national TV on First Take saying that, you know, the hate comes from within the players in regard to Steph Curry. I feel like Steph wants to remind people just how good he is, and you can put the saddle on his back. I guess I'm asking you in a nutshell, do you think there's any other alternative to where you could see Draymond in a max year contract kind of not half-ass it, but kind of, you know, I'll play.
No.
Okay, because that's where I'm at. Steph, too.
No.
I just don't see how that would.
There isn't going to be any conversation about tanking coming into the year.
Oh, no.
Like, whatsoever. You're going to come in, you're going to play it out.
Right.
And you know, injuries are going to dictate this thing.
Right.
Like, the Warriors are not going to sit Stephen Curry or Draymond Green out of 15 or 20 games throughout the course of the season. It might be 5 or 6. You know, here and there, back to back, whatever. But where it becomes problematic is if they have injuries where they have to miss 15 or 20 games.
Right.
That's when you look at the rest of the roster and you go, this team probably isn't talented enough at that point to make it through the season and be a playoff team if they're only going to play 55 or 60 games. That's
right.
Where it becomes problematic. And then if you look at January and February and you're not in the playoff race or you're under 500, then you have to start making maybe some tough decisions to look toward the future. But this isn't about coming into the year with that being the plan or the conversation. But how the year plays out will dictate that.
Mike Yastrzemski is going to join us tomorrow at 11 in the morning. The grandson of Yaz from Carl Yastrzemski, the legendary Boston Red Sox. He'll join us tomorrow at 11 a.m. Mike Yastrzemski, that is, playing for the Giants, playing well in the outfield. And then Rick Bucher will join the studio at 12 p.m. He's been all over the Kevin Durant stuff. He's now a member of the Radio.com family. So we'll have both of those guys on the number one sports station in the Bay Area, 95.7 a game tomorrow. So you don't want to miss that. Bonta Hill, Matt Steinmetz, Daryl DeGuru Johnson taking you from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Who was his grandfather. That's what I said. Carl Yastrzemski. Thank you, Nats. It's grandson.
He was just
grandfather.
Making sure.
I know you're making sure. I love the factual. I love the fact checking there. By the way, Jordan Poole, Smiley, and Pascal taking photos here in their full uniforms, and they're all wearing Kevin Durant's, the KD shoes here. You see the new school shoes right there with KD and Jordan Poole. Pretty nice there. JD, we've been talking about actually, it's not Mike. We're talking to Carl. We're talking to the grandfather, not Mike. That's awesome. We're talking to the grandfather. That's awesome. He's a Hall of Famer, one of the best players ever played a game on the diamond, JD. And I agree with your last point there. And we talked about this on Friday afternoon about the cautious approach and playing this season month by month by month. If the Warriors are 15 and 20 heading into January, and you're thinking, okay, Steph Curry has a knee bruise or Iguodala's nicked up, we're going to sit them out maybe a little bit longer. They're going to play this thing month by month, and maybe they tank the season. But I don't see that happening at the Shea Center at all. You're talking about minutes being available for these rookies and these youngsters. How much minutes can we count on them to play? Because you also got Damian Lee in the equation.
It's too early
to tell. Quinn Cook in the equation. You got Alphonso McKinney. These spots are up for grabs.
But the one thing that I keep coming back to is you write out the roster, and I've done it a couple of different points here. I don't have my paper in front of me, but they don't have a starting shooting guard, and they don't have a starting small forward right now. And you could make a case they don't have a starting center right now. So you know Looney's going to be playing significant center minutes. You know Iguodala is going to play significant small forward minutes, at least half the minutes, whether he starts or comes off the bench. But so however you want to slice it, you're going to need another center that's going to play a lot of minutes. You're going to need a small forward that's going to play a ton of minutes. And you're going to need two guard that's going to have to play.
It looks like we
see
what to eat.
So there, today, there are going into this season, there are 48 minutes to be had at the shooting guard position. There are 24 to 30 minutes to be had at small forward, and there are probably 24 minutes to be had at center on a night in, night out basis. Now, that's before the Warriors sign free agents, and I think, you know, you look at the different positions. You know, Poole is a guy that looks like he's a 2-1, you know, combo guard, maybe could even play a little bit of 3. Pascal looks like a stretch 4 to me, really, or even maybe a small ball 5 at different points. So, and then Smiley Geach is a 4-5 or a 5-4, I think, kind of a player. Who knows how much they'll be able to play next year, but there are going to be opportunities. But the Warriors are going to have to sign a two guard, a stopgap two guard.
Wow.
To get them through the year. They're going to have to sign a stopgap small forward.
Who could that
to get
be?
Them through the year? And even if Durant and Klay Thompson come back.
Right. I don't think it's Jimmer for that, JD. I mean,
no.
Who are you looking at? Austin Rivers, Seth Curry. I mean, those are some of the names that a lot of people have mentioned. What can you do there at the two guard position with the with the lack of flexibility have in a salary cap?
A lot of it is weight. Honestly, they're not going to get the first crack. They're going to have to go through, and they're going to see who signs for big money because they don't have the money to spend in terms of salary cap space. So they're going to have to see who the A-listers are that get the big money. They're going to have to see who thinks they're going to get the A money that doesn't get the A money and has to take the B money or has to go maybe to some teams that they don't really want to go to in order to make money. And then after that, there's a conversation of players that don't get the money that they think they're going to get, so they start to think short term. They start to think 1 year. They start to think mid level. They start to think, you know, veteran minimum. It's in a lot of ways, I think, a waiting game for the Warriors. You can't be aggressive and say these are the five guys we want to get because those five guys might all be able to get more money elsewhere.
And if KD comes back, the Warriors do get that $9 million. Do they get that $9 million to where they could go use on somebody if he doesn't leave, if he opts back in?
If they want to declare him out for the season.
Which you would, at this point, that would be the smartest.
But that's not.
Wow.
But you tell Kevin Durant that right now he can't play. I mean, it's not. That's my point is that's not as. That's
right.
Not.
Cut and dry.
And right. You wouldn't do that with Clay because everybody thinks Clay's coming back, right?
Right.
So you're not doing that with him. I mean, it's got to be a scenario where the guy's out.
This is crazy.
So you would have to at that point gauge Kevin Durant's thoughts on that.
This is going to be wild.
Would he want to be out for the year, or would he want to maybe come back in May?
What do you make of this noise? And we're going to talk to Rick Bucher about it tomorrow when he joins us in studio at high noon here on 95.7 The Game, that KD is unhappy with the way the organization dealt with his injury. Because from what I heard, his doctors were involved. The Warriors' doctors were involved. So why would he be mad at the Warriors? Why would he be mad about the way the injury was dealt with? Because at the end of the day, basketball players want to play. There's no doubt in my mind that Kevin Durant wanted to come back, no matter what the doctor said. So what do you make of this noise now, this recent news? Is it one to save face for Kevin Durant and try to make the move? Like, hey, look, they did me wrong. I injured myself. Screw that. I'm leaving them. I'm going to the East Coast. I don't buy any of that.
Only he knows. Only he knows the answer to that. And I mean, his doctors were involved. Everybody's doctors were involved, of course. But, you know, it's like anything else in life. You know, you push to do something and then things don't maybe work out. And you go, damn it, I was feeling pressure, and I should have been stronger, and I should have said no. Or what? I mean, you go through all kinds of different range of emotion. I mean, this is a career-altering injury. So I think you're going through a lot of a range of emotions in terms of, you know, who you blame. You blame yourself. You find somebody else to blame. So only he knows the answer to that question. So I'm not going to get inside his head. I'm also not going to say that it's completely crazy. I mean, I could see that scenario where he's upset with him. I could see a scenario where he's just heartbroken at the fact that he's losing a year of his prime. And, you know, that can lead to all kinds of different emotions, anger, sadness, frustration.
No doubt.
Depression.
We were talking to the young fellas about summer league, and the NBA just keeps on winning. First it was, you know, the finals, it's free agency, and now it's summer league. JD, it's become a show. But from a Warriors standpoint.
Talk about a show. We got the award show.
Yeah, we got we'll get into that. But JD, I'm hearing Jacob Evans at the point, and I know we can't rob him of that being his position and even coming back this season and helping the Warriors there. But when you hear that and process that, and I know we haven't seen, you know, much of him, is that a stretch, or do you think, you know what, Goo, I won't know until I see it, and who knows? Man, I can't rob Evans, young Evans, of blossoming into, you know, a point guard option for this team moving forward.
No, I think the Warriors still believe that he's going to be a pretty good player. Now, does that mean he's going to be a you know, 10-point-a-game scorer? Not necessarily. Does that mean he's going to be a starting point guard, averaging 8 assists a game? Not necessarily. Yeah. I mean, look, I think the Warriors believe he could do a little bit of everything, and that's what his game is going to grow into. A little bit of Livingston-like, a little bit of Iguodala-like, where maybe the stat line doesn't blow you away, and you might look at his shot and go, ooh, I don't know about how his shot looks, but they still think that he's capable of being a player. And you know what, Goo? It might not happen next year.
Mm. How long did it take for Looney?
It might not happen next year. Yeah. I mean, you want to see growth. You want to see him improve.
I hear what you're saying, though. Right.
I think we all will see him improve, but it's also not necessarily going to be a finished product. And I hesitate, although I put the names out there, a little bit like Iguodala, a little bit like Livingston. I just mean in that, you know, he might score he might score 6 a game, and he's got 3 assists and a couple of steals, and, you know, but, you know, help you win, even though you look up at the end of the night and it's, okay, that line's a little light. You know, it's not going to be the 10, 8, and 8.
Right.
You know, with 4 or 5 shooting.
You know how highly we all do think of Bob Myers, and I forget the young lady that asked him about, is Clay's surgery scheduled? Have you talked to Durant?
Later this week, right?
And JD, it just hit me like, this is, stating the obvious, an offseason like none other that they've had to face. You know, questions just like that about two guys that right now look like they may not be able to contribute, Bonte. And it's just crazy, you know, what this team can do, the resources they have or don't have. I guess what I'm saying, JD, it's not an easy fix. And you don't know what next year is going to be with Steph Curry at the helm, even if he goes off and he's an MVP candidate. You still got other holes to fill, and that's got to be stressful.
Yeah, and a lot of it is not within the Warriors' control.
That's what we're talking about.
Stephen Curry could come back and play great, and Draymond play great, and you get, you know, impactful, you know, contributions from the rookies, and Jacob Evans takes a step, and Iguodala is still pretty good. You could add up all those things and need all those things to go well to win 45, 46 games. You know, because I say that, and I think, Goo, as I'm saying that, you're thinking, boy, that team's going to be pretty good.
48, we got you in at the AC.
Yeah,
correct.
And every
year's different. It's a lot of games in the West,
every
man.
Every year's different. You know, every year's different. Last year it wound up being 48, and there's some teams that didn't make it that think they're better, and there's some teams that were below those teams that think they're better. So I think, at least as it stands right now, and that's even with the Lakers getting Anthony Davis. For me, I don't see a dominant team, which is good. I see a lesser range, let's say, from top to bottom. Like, I could see a 49-win first seed and a 44-45-win eighth seed.
So not that big of a gap at all.
And not that big of a gap, which that, if you start talking about the Warriors getting Klay Thompson back and he's healthy and you've got Draymond and Curry and you've built this, you know, that's the scenario where maybe even the Warriors could make some hay next year if they're, you know, 4 or 5 games off of the one seed, even if they end up being an 8 seed and everybody's kind of jumbled up. But there also could be 11 teams that win 38 or 39, so you're fighting for a playoff spot with a bunch of teams, too.
I want to ask you guys, end the show on a lighter note. This has been a lot of fun here at the Rakuten Performance Center, talking to Jordan Poole, Eric Paschal, and Alan Smiley-Geach, the new rookies here. They're going to be participating in the Summer League. Matt Steinmetz, Bonte Odor, Guru Johnson here on 95.7 The Game. JD is with us now. The award show. You just talked about, Guru, how the NBA is always putting on a show. Free agency starts at 3 p.m. on Sunday, primetime television, and we'll all be glued to the tubes and Twitter. But the NBA Awards show, this is one thing I feel like the NBA got wrong. Now, you had the All-Star game, and I love the team captains and guys picking teams. That's a lot of fun. But why are the awards given out so damn late? I don't care who won the regular season MVP anymore. I don't care who's going to win DPOY or Rookie of the Year. It was something about when a guy won the MVP award in the second round of the playoffs or the end of the first round, and they hoist that MVP trophy in front of the crowd.
And it was like fresh.
It was fresh. It's right there. It's like, okay, yeah, he did ball out in the regular season. Now it's like, okay, Giannis is going to win the MVP if he does win the MVP. But we're going to always think about the Toronto series.
You're right.
And how Toronto
basically exposed him
a jump shot. Or the Rookie of the Year. I already forgot about Trae Young's rookie year. It felt like it was 5 months ago.
What are they gaining, JD, by doing it now? Bonte, you're on point, but what are they gaining?
They're gaining a night of television. They're gaining another night to put the NBA at the forefront.
However you want to do it.
It doesn't matter.
Right,
that's fine.
It's not the Oscars.
I mean, I'm going to watch it.
We're all going to watch it because we got nothing else to do.
But that's the point. You're having it on Monday when there isn't a hell of a lot else going on.
Is it fair to the winners getting it this late, I guess?
I actually kind of like it. Believe it or not, I actually do like it late.
Why is that?
I think it's kind of I think it kind of gets in the way of the playoffs when you start talking about regular season awards and this guy and that guy.
Then why do the All NBA teams and the All Defensive teams and stuff like that during that?
Yeah, I think it's so because those awards have an impact on contracts. Mm. So I think they give everybody a little bit of lead time on that to start planning. You know, because it can change somebody's.
No doubt.
Scale of pay based on what team they're on. So, but I would do them all at the end.
All right. We got to run here, man. Jam-packed show. That was a lot of fun. Time flew by today. Yep. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. up until 2 p.m. Bonte Hill, Matt Steinmetz, Daryl DeGuru, Johnson, JD, thank you so much for joining us. TJ, great job engineering. We got Sean Promotions over here. And then my guy, Nash, right here. Let me know. That's coming up on the Damon Bruce Show from 2 to 6 p.m. A new time, folks. 2 to 6, Damon Bruce with Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky. Jordan Schultz from Yahoo Sports, I believe. Jordan Poole, the rookie who we just talked to, he'll join the gang at 3:30 p.m. And then Jay Billis, lead color analyst on college basketball on ESPN, does a great job with that. The former Dukie, he'll join Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky at 4 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. It's been a lot of fun, folks. See you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. It's been real, and it's been all brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking. No compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.